I was able to have many conversations with Gordon in the last 7 years. We talked about the past. We talked about current events. But most of our conversations revolved around our common interest, the Word of God. Gordon wasn't a man of many words, but when he spoke about God's Word, he spoke with conviction, sincerity, and passion. You cannot measure by human standards what Gordon left behind because he did not store up for himself treasures on earth, but rather treasures in heaven. The legacy that he left was not in material form, but in the faces you see around you today. He kept the fire of faith burning in the hearts and lives of those who knew him. By his life, generation after generation will know the Christian message, and countless others will come to know Christ because of the life Gordon Morrow lived. Therefore, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Hope is a future certainty grounded in a present reality. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have hope that we too may see Gordon again. Not in this life, but in the life that is to come. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be clothed, to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Our body, a tent? Not a bad metaphor. I've spent some nights in tents, nice for vacations, but not intended for daily use. We need something better, Paul argues, something permanent, something painless, something more than flesh and blood. And until we get it, we groan. I know I'm not telling you anything new. You know the groan of the soul. You didn't need me to tell you it's there, but maybe you do need me to tell you that it's okay. It's all right to groan. It's permissible to yearn. Longing is a part of life. It's only natural to long for home when on a journey. And we aren't home yet. We are orphans at the gate of the orphanage, awaiting our new parents. They aren't here yet, but we know they are coming. They wrote us a letter. We haven't seen them yet, but we know what they look like. They sent us a picture. And we're not acquainted with our new home yet, but we have a hunch about it. We have a hunch that it's grand. They sent a description. And so what do? Here at the gate where the now already meets the path of the not yet, what do? We groan. We long for the call to come home. But until he calls, we wait. We stand on the porch of the orphanage and wait. And how do we wait? With patient eagerness, knowing that one day we will meet up with Gordon again and be able to thank him for the impact that he has had on our lives. Romans tells us, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And as we wait, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance on you and give you peace.